Well, this is National Library Week, April 13th through the 19th, and lives change at your library is the theme for this year's National Library Week celebration. I'm going to talk a little bit about libraries this morning with Meredith Sherb, who is the Atlantic Library Director. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Appreciate it very much. How long have you been at the Atlantic Library now?
Almost exactly a year and a half, actually, today, yes.
Has it been a good, full... overwhelming sometimes, year and a half?
Yes, all of that, I would say. It's been a great year, or year and a half. Met a lot of people, learned a lot of things. It's my first director job, so that was certainly overwhelming, just kind of learning the role and how to do it, I guess. But it's been very rewarding, too. So.
But you walked into a situation where you have some longtime folks to lean on, paid staff,
yes.
Board members,
yes.
Volunteers. That helped a lot.
Yes, I've been very fortunate. We have a great staff. Many of them have been there for a long time, so they, you know how things run and have lots of... you have been able to answer lots of questions for me and just been a wonderful support, as well as a board who's been there for a long time as well and have helped guide me through that process as well.
It takes people like that. We talk so much about paid staff. You get good paid staff members that have been mm-hmm. there a good long time, but, you know, from the board that is an elected board that helps with oversight, you've got the Friends of the Library group who helps mm-hmm. to do a lot of different things, not just raising money, but, mm-hmm. you know, raising awareness and things like that. It takes a lot of volunteers to make it work, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. We do rely on volunteers. We have several that come in that just help shelve books or to move things around for us, you know, if things, you know, are set up for different events and things like that. And I know Julie relies on a lot of volunteers during the summer reading program. Lots of, I think, parents as well as middle school and high school teenagers that come and help just with programs and things. So we definitely appreciate them and definitely need their support. So
is there room for more volunteers?
Yeah, we can always use volunteers. So if you're looking for something to do in the community that benefits the community so much, it's definitely, we can find a place for you. So yeah.
Who should they contact?
They can contact me.
Very good. Just call the library and find out more about all those things.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us have preconceived notions about libraries. If we haven't been to one in a while, we tend to rely on our memories.
Sure.
And for me, for example, I remember going to the library. It was this large old building that was built back in the early 1900s that had just stacks and stacks of books. And when you thought you were done, there was an upper level with stacks and stacks of books. And we had the old Dewey Decimal System, and we'd go to the card file. We'd look up what we thought we wanted in the different sections, and then we'd go find it. And you know, we'd sit down and we'd always have to be quiet. And it's really not all like that anymore, is it?
No, not exactly. We still have books, so never fear about that. I don't see those going away anytime soon.
Good.
But yeah, the library has definitely changed. We offer a lot more technology than we used to. So, you know, in addition to the books and magazines, we have movies, we have audiobooks, things like that. But we also have computers that have internet access, which is a big thing. The card catalogs that you talked about, those are gone now. That's all online now. So what's great about that is that you can access it at home when we're not open and check and see if the book that you want is in. You could even reserve it from home if you wanted to. Dewey Decimal System, it's still around in our nonfiction. Some libraries have done away with it. We still have it here in Atlantic. It's a pretty good organization system. But yeah, a lot of things have changed. And it's definitely not as quiet anymore. We have lots of programming. And it's not discouraged so much anymore. It's not quite that. We're not that librarian anymore, that the shushing librarian. So a reasonable volume is fine. So, yeah.
Well, being a younger librarian, mm-hmm. you probably have an advantage because you understand the technology maybe more so than some of us older folks.
Well, sort of, maybe.
But, you know, when technology began to emerge as something that people were really grasping a hold of as a resource, mm-hmm. you know, when we were kids in school, we either had to go to the library, either at the school or the public library in mm-hmm. town, or perhaps we were fortunate enough that mom and dad had purchased a set of encyclopedias for us, mm-hmm. which, you know, were only really relevant until they were printed, and then something else has happened to make them, you know, not relevant anymore. So, you know, the resource materials weren't necessarily always handy like they are today.
Mm-hmm.
There were two ways to go with the library, I suppose. oh no, what do we do now? We're going to be out of business. Mm-hmm. Or you go ahead and accept what's happening and find ways to adapt to make it work for you. And that's mm-hmm. the direction that libraries have chosen.
Yeah, I would say technology's with us. It's not going anywhere. And the best thing that we can do is try and embrace it and use it to provide basically the same services that we have before, but just using these new technologies as tools to do that. So you talk about like all the different devices that people have now. They have smartphones and they have tablets. And so they want to be able to get material, get information on those devices. So now we have downloadable books. We have databases that we subscribe to that patrons can use to do anything from learn a foreign language to research their ancestry, their genealogy. You know, if they're preparing for any kind of a test, whether it's career driven or a college prep, you know, we have a database that provides, you know, online practice tests and tutorials and things like that. So that's what we've really tried to do to make use of that technology and to provide it to our patrons.
Well, and I know the folks that do a lot of genealogical services mm-hmm. really enjoy the library resources.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we've got a couple of good databases, as well as the Genealogical Society is housed at the library. So when the volunteers are there, it's a good resource for people doing that kind of research in Cass County.
Mm-hmm. So with kids as busy as they are these days, they might not all come piling in after the school bell mm-hmm. final rings at the end of the day into the library, but you know they're still using the library in their own way.
Right, right. They can just access it remotely, you know. So definitely still being used.
And it's a resource for everyone, not just for children,
right,
of course.
Right, right, yes.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the cooperation that you do, too, mm-hmm. because maybe it's a lot easier nowadays with the technology out there, but I know you do cooperate with a lot of other libraries in the county and around the region and stuff mm-hmm. to be able to provide some different types of services and resources that you otherwise might not have access to.
Mm-hmm. One of the big ones is within Cass County, there are 5 other libraries, and we work together to provide some programming. We do an all Cass County Reads every year, and we try and find a local author to come and do programs at each of the libraries. So that's one way that we cooperate with other libraries in the county. So
I guess you just kind of have to find ways. Everybody in every sector, for the most part, could find themselves becoming irrelevant mm-hmm. if they don't work hard at keeping yourself out there and mm-hmm. putting reasons out there for folks to come and find out more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Every sector struggles with that because people's attention is so fragmented, or it's in multiple places. And so trying to find ideas or resources or things like that will keep people coming back is a challenge for all of us. So
how often do you have people walk into the library and say, Meredith, I've been thinking about this for a while. I think you should do this.
Well, that happens, definitely. And we try and take that into consideration because it's directly from the patron. And mm-hmm. if they're wanting it, maybe someone else is as well. So we definitely try to accommodate as much as possible and as much as finances and things like that allow. Or if we can't do it now, we certainly, you know, keep it as an idea for the future. So
are most library services still free or very, very
yeah,
inexpensive?
Pretty much. Most of them are free. Otherwise, or very small costs, like printing costs are like 10 cents a page, or faxing's $1 a page. So just a few, you know, fees like that. But otherwise, yeah, it's basically free. So
a lot of the traditional mm-hmm. services that folks come to know are all still available.
Yep.
Just no library card.
Nope, no library card. We just ask you to give us your name at the desk and we'll get you checked out. So you don't have to worry about losing it or anything like that. So
is that a shock to some of the older folks like me who walk in and
you know,
say,
most
what? That was a badge of courage. I had my library card when I was a kid.
Every now and again, people are like, oh, there's no actual card. And I'm like, yeah, no, but most people are okay with it. So,
yeah, well, times
yep.
change.
Yep,
and,
exactly.
We try to make it as easy and as accessible for you as possible.
Right,
you can,
exactly.
So can you actually check out books from the library technically without even going to the library?
You can. You can reserve them, I guess. You okay. mean like a physical book?
No. Like electronic
yes,
books and stuff.
Yes, an electronic book yeah. you can. We have a service. It's a consortium that the state put together. Mm-hmm. It's called Wilbur. And you can download those onto your device from home if you want to.
You don't even have to make the drive.
You don't even have to make the drive. So bad weather or you don't feel like going out or, yep, you
so
can do it.
Realistically, I mean, you have hours. You have mm-hmm. hours for the physical library. Mm-hmm. What are they, by the way?
They are Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 6. We're open until 8 on Wednesdays, and then on Saturdays, 9:30 to 2:30.
But for, I guess, what we could call the virtual library, mm-hmm. the hours are 24/7.
24/7, yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's amazing. I think a lot of folks would be shocked to find out some of the things that they can do through the library these days that maybe they haven't been taking advantage of.
Right, yeah, I would say so. I mean, definitely the databases and the downloadable books and things like that that are accessible. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you have the internet, you can access them from anywhere at any time. So,
wow, yep. You're spinning my head. I understand most of what she's saying, but again, I'm part of that older generation now, so some of that technology stuff zips right on by me. Well, very good. Well, if you have any questions and aren't sure about how the library can fit into your life these days, or maybe if you haven't visited in a while, check it out. You might be surprised at how different things are, but yet how much some things stay the same as far as the type of resource materials that are available out there for you to use. And it's always there as a public resource for folks. And you have great staff who always have the right answers to the questions.
Yes, they do. We like to think so.
Very good. So make sure you make an effort. It's National Library Week. Maybe it's time to maybe reconnect with the library if you've gotten away from that resource over time. Meredith, thanks for coming in. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.